With our two special guests tonight, George Haas and William Sanders, Bill, as we talk about the incredible story on Mars, we're going to talk about some ruins on Mars and also take your calls next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast again with our two special guests, George Haas and Bill Sanders, as we talk about the article that they have published with several other authors about the artificial structure on Mars. And George, there are other things on Mars too, aren't there? Ruins, artifacts,
yeah.
They're everywhere.
Well, earlier in the conversation tonight, you were speculating and asking Bill and I that the builders that built this, where did they live? Well, if your listeners go to the slide selection there and go to the number or the letter G, which you scroll down to G, mm-hmm. We have an image of aerial view, the same Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter image that we're using in the paper. If you follow the spine of the three-sided pyramid on the east side and go west, you hit a wedge-shaped mound that is towards the west of it, and it points directly to the peak of this wedge-shaped mound. Do you see that? You have access to that, George?
Yes. Yes.
So that's what we're looking at, this area here, this mound that's on the... And at the center of the image, you see this, like, curvature wall that goes there across, which is pretty interesting also. But if you go down to the next slide, we're showing you the area that we're focusing in on. And I'm calling this the base complex. And take a look at that image on the right. That's a the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter high-rise image. That's a zooming-in detail of that peak of that mound. And that's showing you all kinds of rectangular, right-angled structures. There's these big square buildings. There's stuff is all over the place. This is just one small section of that area, just to give you an idea of what we're looking at. Take a look at that, George.
And, George, you know, when we look at the old Star Wars movies,
right,
even the current ones, they all lived in not high-tech looking houses by any means. They lived like in prehistoric hutches, even though they possessed incredible technology. Is it conceivable that the Martians lived the same way?
Well, yeah. If you look at this this image on the right, the detail on the right side of it, there's these three rectangular squares that look like they're just hovering there with over a ledge, you know, like these real modern type box cubic structures. And it's pretty amazing. And this falls right in line also with what Dr. Brandenburg was saying, that this was a, you know, he's speculating a Bronze Age type culture that was building these huge mounds and structural formations. And the smaller structures like this are basically mimicking what we're seeing in the larger things. These are much smaller. These dwellings, very rectangular, the squares, very cubic. I mean, again, this is, you know, way out of context for this geology that we're looking at. I don't know if Bill has anything to add to this, but we think not only are we finding a three-sided pyramid directly adjacent from it, we're finding all these smaller structures.
What do you think of that, to Bill?
This is today is the first day I've seen this slide. George sent it to me earlier today, and I was extremely impressed. If you look at the detail there in the lower left quadrant, you can see where the soil has been disturbed all around that area. It's quite easy to see the difference between the ground surface around there, and then you have these buildings, rectangular structures sitting in the middle of this disturbed soil.
Clearly, they don't look natural. Clearly, they don't.
No. And just above that, you have a large right angle wall, and then to the right of that, there's another right angle wall with another building within that wall. And it's very remarkable. I was kind of blown away when I saw this.
George, the possibility of a nuclear war probably would have been totally one-sided, I would assume. I don't think the inhabitants of Mars possessed that kind of technology at the time. What, and this is all speculation, but what would cause a high society to obliterate primitive people?
Yeah, that is the question. It seems like somebody is going through the galaxy, the universe, destroying all of these blossoming cultures. It seems like something out of a science fiction movie.
Really, it is. It's horrible.
It is, and there's the debate going on in the scientific community now about should we be broadcasting into space and saying, "Hey, looky here, we're here, come visit us." I mean, should we be doing that?
Well, Stephen Hawking says no, it's a bad idea.
There you go. That's a smart man right there.
Well, see, a lot of people make the assumption that a high-technology civilization that could be millions, if not billions of years ahead of ours, would generally be more, godlike.
Well, yeah,
that's not the case.
And they'd be, they'd be all these just tall, wonderful, glowing people. But they may be more like, the more of the villains. Who knows? It's a scary thing, and we seem to have a lot of evidence for this destruction on Mars, that somebody did this. And I think that's one reason why NASA is very hesitant to release this information to the public.
Right, but clearly you could assume the Martians themselves did not destroy themselves.
I don't think so. I think it was done by an outside culture.
Yeah, I think Brandenburg's probably right when it comes to that.
And that's even scarier.
Yep.
It's nice to say, well, look, the Martians became so advanced and they destroyed their planet and they had global warming and they killed themselves. Let's not do that. I mean, that's a nicer story.
Right, as opposed to, some heinous group came from afar and wiped them out.
Just wiped them out, yes. You don't want the public thinking about that. They have enough trouble worrying about asteroids going by, which we hear a lot about lately.
Well, and again, they may have done the same to us a long time ago, too.
Exactly. But we are resilient.
Well, let's not. I mean, you think they'd come back, or you think they'd probably think, well, we wiped them out, they're done.
Unless they've come back and they're controlling us. I don't know.
You never know.
There's that thought.
Let's go to Jeff in Santa Rosa, California. Hi, Jeff. Go ahead.
George, I am so glad that you took this phone call. I have had this Martian base colony thing I've been talking about with Coast to Coast that I found here in the Larkfield area where I'm at right now in Santa Rosa.
Uh-huh.
I've been wondering who I can give it to. I had no idea that these guys at the Cydonia Institute even existed. So I'm very pleased and about your research for the last 10 years. And I don't want to step on your toes with anything like this, so I'll be brief. Anyway, there are when the glaciers came through here, there's a strip of California here that did not get washed out by these glaciers or scrubbed clean. And it goes from the Santa Rosa area and somewhat north here by 100 miles at least down to the California border. And there's I'll just stick with this area right here. There's the Larkfield area. There was a Tubbs fire that came through here. I studied this area because I saw a couple of UFOs go through here. And I wondered, well, why did they stop here? Because it looked like they interacted with each other and they did a time jump. That's what it looked like to me. So I was studying the area, and I went back to the 2007 black and white photos of this particular Larkfield area between Mount St. Helena? Mount Calistoga, Mount St. Helena, and the Larkfield area where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
And I found all of these structures that over time, I studied it for a year. And I found a lot of these Martian water animals and I was able to correlate it with Mars. But the important thing that I want to bring up to you, because you're the Cydonia Institute, do you represent them? Is I found a smaller version, not as big, but a smaller version of the face on Mars, and many different examples of the face on Mars. And I was able, with those structures, those raised ground relief structures, I was able to piece together the face on Mars. And there's, as an example, there is a horn. If you get NASA photo E03-00824, it's a strip photo of the Cydonia of the face on Mars. And the upper right part of the head, there is it's a 10 meg photo. There's a horn. It's kind of like a curved horn. It's facing to the left. It's on the right head. If you're looking at the picture, it's at the top of the right head. Very faint. There's the face, which I believe was an altitude corridor. My research indicates that the Martians were spacefaring. and they had different altitude corridors. And listening to you guys talk, I realized, you know, that big face was probably the traffic control area for any of the spacecraft coming into Mars.
That's an interesting theory. What do you think of the possibility of a nuke war there?
They were wiped out. They were definitely wiped out. Mr. Yeah. Brandenburg was correct on that 100%.
They got them. Okay, well, their website, you can send them and contact them through the CydoniaInstitute.com. We've got that linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. But it's good to know, George and William, other people are doing their own research too, huh?
Oh, yeah. There's, especially with the advent of the Facebook, there's a lot of communities put together, and there's a lot of people studying a lot of the rover images. And there seems to be overwhelming interest in this kind of thing, except by the mainstream media.
Exactly. Let's go next to Jack in Lakeland, Florida. Hi, Jack. Go ahead.
Hey, you were talking about maybe we are the Martians, and if we are, they would have to come here somehow with a spaceship. So I'm wondering, where is the spaceship? Is that maybe what they're digging up in the South Pole?
Well, they could have come here in several ways. One, they could have come as some kind of biological entity aboard some kind of meteorite, which they have found from Mars, that jump-started life here. That's possible. Or they came here in craft, of course, because of the similarities of pyramids there and pyramids here. And Cairo means Mars.
Correct.
Which I find bizarre. I mean, what are the odds of that happening and pyramids at the same time? I mean, there's something strange going on here. But it's an interesting question, George and William, that if they didn't have that kind of technology, how did they get here?
Well, even a Bronze Age type of steampunk type of culture could have had, you know, the capabilities to do some type of, you know, off-planet transportation. So we're really not sure. This, of course, this is all speculation. They may have been a high-tech culture. We don't know. You know, this is fun to talk about, but the best thing for us to do as our space program should go full force, go to Mars, and once we get there, we can actually find out what was going on Mars. And I think that's the only way we're going to answer any of these questions is to go there.
Well, we have that old saying, we won't know unless we go.
That's right.
Let's go to Joe in Long Island, New York. Hey, Joe, go ahead.
Hey, guys, I have two quick questions and a comment. My first question would be, if you had a $1 trillion budget for Mars, how would you apportion that money right now? And also, as you studied Mars, how would you compare it to the other planets in the solar system, such as Venus, for example, which is actually half the distance of Mars from the Earth, but apparently a lot hotter? And my comment would be, I thought Interstellar was a great movie, you know, with civilization and the Earth in a fade. I thought it was more melancholy that way than if it was just an instant destruction. You know, more of a fun movie.
That was a fun movie. I liked The Martian with Matt Damon. That was a great movie, too. Did you guys see that, George, William?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I saw it.
What'd you think? Realistic?
About The Martian every time I have potatoes.
Yeah, I liked it. Realistic. But if you had a $1 trillion budget to go to Mars, what would you do with it?
Bill?
Yeah, I don't know. What I'd like to have here is some more a detailed photograph like we see here with George's labeled the base complex. It'd be nice if Mars had an atmosphere. We could fly above it in a helicopter-like craft or something like that. But since there's no atmosphere, that's a little difficult to do. I don't know. I think we need to determine first, you know, what is there that can be used. Is there a radiation that's going to affect anybody that tries to set up a base there or not? I don't know. But I would like to comment about the Mars, us being the Martians. I don't really subscribe to that theory. I subscribe to the theory that both Mars and Earth were settled by another civilization from another part of the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
Yep.
Simultaneously?
And then they went to war. The early, Dr. Brandenburg says that the evidence of the nuclear explosion on Mars is about 200 million years old, I believe. And to me, that doesn't fit with the timeline of what we know was happening on Earth. I think perhaps that there was creatures on Mars that they wanted to get rid of, not sentient beings like us, but creatures like we had the dinosaurs. Perhaps they got rid of the dinosaurs so they could come and settle it. Maybe they did the same thing to Mars.
Interesting take. And maybe it wasn't an asteroid that wiped out the dinosaurs here. Maybe it was them.
Well, maybe they sent the asteroid to do it.
Well, that's a possibility, too, I guess, if they had that kind of technology. Dwayne is in Tacoma, Washington. Welcome to the show. Hi, Dwayne.
Hello. I have a possibility for what happened to Mars.
All right, go ahead. Love to hear it.
Stars can go into super flare at any time in their life, and the super flare is just along the equator. And if our own sun did it, all the inner planets would be toast. About 17 to 19 years ago, there was an article in the paper that said 9 of our close neighboring stars went into super flare, and if our own sun did it, all the inner planets would be toast. But it's not an even flare, so like the Earth could be below the flare, and Mercury, Venus, and Mars could have all gotten held.
And we lucked out, of course.
And we lucked out that time.
George, what do you think?
I've heard that that theory before, that this burst would go out and just destroy planets. But I guess depending on what your orbit was, like he's saying, you may miss it, luckily, and it would go out and you'd be in the opposite direction on the other side of the sun.
Though you haven't had much media coverage to this latest article here, have you gotten any scientific reaction from anybody?
The only communications, I've sent a lot of press releases out. Just this Dr. Catherine, this planetary Witz. Scientist that actually was the one to request the high-rise image of this area. But after that initial discussion, I haven't heard anything from her.
Do you think...
It's very difficult to get people to... open up about this, because they're scientists, they're reputable, they have all of these mainstream papers that they have published, and to say anything publicly about, oh my God, you're finding a pyramid on Mars, and then just across the way there's another mound that has all these ruins on it, they don't want to touch this.
It's like the kiss of death for them, isn't it?
I would think, yeah.
And your website constantly updated, George?
Yeah, if the listeners want to go to the Sedona Institute website, the Coast to Coast has provided a link. I said earlier, Bill and I, we've been doing this for over 20 years. We have 5 papers published. The first one was in 2011 with the Parrot Formation. And so if any of the listeners out there are interested, they can go over to the Sedona Institute website. You go on to the menu there, and they can just click on the science papers, and there's links to all the papers. They can read the papers for free. They don't have to buy them. They're all readily available.
And they're good reads. We're going to come back with both of you and take final phone calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, our final segment with George Haas and Bill Saunders as we talk about the latest release that they have about this incredible structure on Mars that we're talking about, but lots of things going there, and we'll get to your calls too. George, what keeps driving you into this? You don't give up, and it's the same with Bill. You keep going. How come?
I've just always been fascinated with the, since the face on Mars, and doing this, for over 20 years, just fascinated with the images that NASA's provided. I know there's a lot of people that think that NASA has, smudged images and changed some of the images that we're looking at. But I find the images to be pretty reputable, and I just enjoy doing this research.
How about you, Bill?
Well, I guess it's like a lot of things. The more you learn, the more you realize what you don't know. And I think that the drive to keep learning new things keeps me going. I do need to take a break from it every once in a while because it does get overwhelming. And but it's, you know, there's new things coming up all the time that just stir your interest. So you just keep coming back.
All right, let's go to the phones again. We shall go to Jaden in Oakland, California. Hi, Jaden. Go ahead.
Good morning. I want to tell you two quick things real quick. I'm a big fan, love the show.
Thank you.
I'll divulge more in the oil fish washing up and how they're everywhere, and the fish and game officers, enforcement, are being spurious to dissuade the spirit world's earthquake barometer to the people. But right now I want to say this guest you got is good, and I want to ask two things.
All right.
I want to ask if does Mars, is this tie into the biblical fire that raged through the red planet, Cairo, the war, the cataclysmic event that plagued Mars thousands of years ago? Sorry, I was bumbling my words for a sec. I'm nervous. Never been on the radio.
You're doing okay, Jay.
And is Mars the original planet Earth? And my other question, I forgot. I love that David Paldeen, the nature park guy.
Mm-hmm.
I love Tom Likas, that Tom Likas show. Maybe you could have them on again.
Yeah, Tom's a good guy. Well, anyways, we've been talking about this apparent war on Mars, gentlemen. And so Jaden's thoughts were, is this what really happened? What do you think, George?
Well, he mentioned the cataclysm and the Bible. Early on when I was getting involved in this, I looked to the revelations in the Bible, and I thought all of the apocalyptic type events that were recorded there may parallel with the things that happen on Mars.
Bill, what do you think?
I'm a pretty avid reader, or I was. Of course, Mr. Sitchin is unfortunately no longer with us, but having read all his books, I think that there's a big connection there. And he talks the war, one of his books, The Wars of Gods and Men, I think talks about, these things were written in history, and we just have taken it for granted that it was mythology that came out of people's heads, that it didn't really happen. And I think it's pretty obvious that it did, from what we've seen, remnants of things here on Earth and what we're finding on Mars.
And George, I'm assuming that when you do your work with Bill or with others and send out these releases, you put a lot of thought into this. This isn't just some whim, correct?
Oh, like I said, we've spent off and on over the last 10 years just working on this paper. We have a couple other papers that we're working on. I have books that I'm working on. But we're very serious about this, and we're trying to make this something that's palatable to the public, something that they can relate to and read and ask questions. And we would hope the scientific community would be responsive, but it's just been a long, hard struggle. And we've been doing this, and we've been on your show, I don't know, 5 or 6 times, and we get a lot of great response when you're on your show. I get emails, and hopefully people are inspired and go out and purchase our books to help support this research, and it keeps us going.
Let's go to Cassie, truck driving in California somewhere. Hi, Cassie.
Good morning, Mr. Nori.
Hi there.
Happy day 12.
That's right. It's moving along already, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, and I'm surrounded by 12 today. But my question is for your guests, because of a dream that I had earlier before my shift, was about pyramids. And it's funny that, because this happened today, was pyramids. The question is, what is their insight on the possibility of the pyramids being a communication circuit board?
Interesting. Almost like a huge antenna. What do you think, Bill?
Was she referring to the Giza pyramids or
or any pyramid?
Yeah. Well, I just actually saw something on the internet recently about that, and I think that there could be something to it. There's definitely people who have studied the location of monuments on Earth and in the grid that they seem to follow. I think there could be something to it.
What do you think, George?
Yeah, there's a lot of researchers that believe that the Giza pyramids, and like Bill said, a lot of this global grid that goes around the planet, that maybe this was some type of energy that was used. And you had spoken earlier about, the placement of this three-sided pyramid on Mars. You know, what is its relationship to other structures on the planet? We may find that there's a similar pattern on Mars with these structures about creating a global grid to be used as an energy source. So, that's another speculation that we can look into.
Steve is in Albany, New York now. Hi, Steve. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got a different take on the pyramids, and I did this. I was listening to a YouTube documentary on this goes from one thing to another, but on the Star Spangled Banner and the shelling, I think it was Fort McHenry, and the British shelled the fort, and it really didn't make a difference. And I said, where would you find a fortress that big in a primitive society? I came up with the pyramids, and then I thought, if primitive societies built a fortress like this, it may not have been a primitive society. It may have been extraterrestrials.
Mm-hmm.
And the pyramids were actually fortresses, and the pyramids on Mars might have also been fortresses. And everybody's been saying, well, they're machines, they're communications devices, the prior caller said, but maybe they were just stone that would take something like a major nuclear weapon and would just roll it off, and maybe that's what they were meant to do. They were just large fortresses.
Well, they're saying here that the Great Pyramids might have also been put there to minimize earthquakes for some reason, almost like a huge shock absorber. George, you ever hear that one?
Oh, there's been numerous theories about why the pyramids were built and what they were used for. I don't know if I've heard the one about the earthquake, creating some type of ballast or something.
Yeah, and that they're put on certain areas, fault lines, to prevent major earthquakes.
That's a possibility.
Kind of interesting.
Sounds like another science paper.
I don't think the pyramids have ever been hit by an earthquake, have they?
No.
See?
There you go.
Maybe it works. For first-time caller, Danny in Alaska. Hi, Danny. Go ahead.
Yes, George, how are you?
Great, Danny. Thank you.
I wanted to talk to you about St. Louis and Detroit. I'm from Detroit area. But first of all, I'd like to talk to the doctor about Mars and unsealed documents had photos of that Sphinx face on Mars. And the first photos showed the total face. They said it was like 3 miles long and 1 mile wide. And then the next photos after that rover went up there, only one third of the face was left. Does he know anything about that? And also a Bigfoot creature on Mars. They had a photograph of that.
Yeah, I saw that. And it looked like it was way in the distance. But go ahead, George. You want to answer his first question?
I guess he's talking about the Sphinx that was seen in the distance with the initial rover that went down on Mars.
Okay.
That panoramic view with the two peaks in the back. I haven't heard that they had taken additional pictures of that. If that's what he's talking about, I'm not familiar with any of the portions of the head missing.
And, Bill, that little Bigfoot picture he was talking about, do you recollect that?
Yeah, I do remember seeing that, and wasn't sure whether it was a shadow or exactly what it was.
A lot of strange things that they see on Mars. I mean, lots of strange things.
Yes, definitely.
Well, there's only one way we're going to find out is if we finally end up going there. And
it's on the ground.
Yeah. Yep. We're going to have to do that. And do you think, George, that they would tell us the truth if we did that?
You're saying if we eventually do go to Mars?
If we go to Mars and astronauts are there and they're looking at these structures like this pyramid, will they come back and tell us the truth?
I don't know. I think if we actually go there and there are boots on the ground and they go over and examine these things, we would have to have visual documentation. There'd have to be someone filming it while they're doing it, so we know they're actual what they're seeing, we're seeing, as opposed to images and photographs of when we went to the moon and they drove the little carts over and they set a camera up, and supposedly the camera just looked at a certain part of the moon, mm-hmm. and they were over there doing geological examinations, and we never saw footage of that. So they were hiding it when they went to the moon. I think if they went to Mars, we'd have to have a more open access to what they were looking at.
I think so, too. Well, both of you, thank you for being on the program. Really appreciate it. Anything you need, you get a hold of us, okay?
All right, George.
Good.
I got
thanks.
You on speed
thanks,
down.
George.
Thanks, Bill.
Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Two great guys. And, again, their website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. The book, The Martian Codex, the DVD, the same name as well. Just great research into what is going on that planet. And now, of course, I've been getting a couple emails from people say they're depressed. The weather's just knocking people down. They want to laugh. Well, okay, we got a few minutes. Go ahead and laugh.
Hey, Mark, excuse me. I'm on my way to 3768. Kind of got hung up. It's raining out here. I'm on my way into Dallas. Jerry's probably going to be calling you to find out where I'm at if he can't get a hold of me, I'm sure. So whoa, man, I just had a wreck right in front of me. This guy ran a red light and hit four old ladies in an Impala. Just kind of clipped them and turned them around right in front of me, man. That was close. Oh, now this guy's getting out of his car. He's got a white shirt on with a tie and a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. He's throwing his hands up in the air like it was their fault. Oh, hold on. He's going over to their window. She's rolling down the window. Oh, man, I think she sprayed him with pepper spray, man. He's holding his head, he's holding his face, and he's on his knee. She's getting out. She's beating him with an umbrella. The other women are getting out, too. There's one woman with a little black person. She's tomahawking him, man. She looks like a Sunbelt 20 horsepower jackhammer. Blah, blah, blah. We got another woman she's hitting him like he's got a cattle prod, man. She's got an umbrella and she's sticking it in his side. Oh, there's another one. It's a little woman who looks like Mother Goose. She beat him. She's got this U-bit bag. She beat him. She's got this U-bit bag. It's huge. It's about the size of her. She's about 4 foot nothing. She hit him over the head. Everything went all over the place. Her Bible fell. She just hit him in the head with a Bible. She picked this Bible up and she lifted it way over her head. It was a hardback NVI version. Oh, they're still beating the out of this guy. She picked his Bible up and raised it up above her head and just beamed the guy. This guy's not getting up. They're still hitting him. The one with the little black person still. Oh, a piece of them. okay, he's up on the car. The little woman just beamed him again with that big bag. He's running to his car. He's out of here. The little bitty Mother Goose woman. She's stuck into him and she's driving off. I wish you would have been here, man. This is too good. Oh,
It's a classic, isn't it? For Nathan Staten, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burles, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.